I just blocked a completely random girl on Twitter because she said Flatbush raps better than Drake. Petty by me, but her whole list of best rappers sucked. Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, also the host of the Locked On NBA podcast, and you can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Another day of the NBA playoffs up on deck for us with three games on Friday, so we've got stuff to talk about with those three games.
Let's get to it indeed.
Michael Bolton, we will start by looking at the first game on the slate, and that is the Cleveland Cavaliers taking on the Indiana Pacers. Interesting game here. Obviously, the series tied 1-1. Let's have a look back at what happened in Game 2 in this game. Victor Oladipo only played 28 minutes, and I think it was a massive tactical error from Nate McMillan to play him just those 28 minutes. He picked up two early fouls, and then he sat for about 11 or 12 minutes in the first half, and he picked up one more foul for the rest of the game. Oladipo was fantastic in that time, but if you play him an extra 7 or 8 minutes, then I think that they win. They only lost by 3. Collison was great, Thad and Miles Turner. We can see the big minutes for Miles Turner coming again, 18 and 5 from him. And that's really limiting what Trevor Booker and DeMontis Sabonis are doing. So I'm feeling pretty good about what Turner's doing. You know, big minutes for Collison and Oladipo. And then this rotation is pretty settled. Bogdanovic struggled. At least he hit his shots, but he didn't get anywhere near the amount of attempts he got in Game 1. So we'll see what happens there for Game 3. On the Cleveland side of things, a change in starting lineup. We had the plumber, J.R. Smith, and Kyle Korver start with Jeff Green.
My name is Jeff.
Moving to the bench along with Rocket Rodney Hood. It was always dumb to have Jeff Green starting. I've said that many, many times, and finally they went away from it. I still would like them to see Larry Nance in there a little bit more, but getting that shooting in there with Korver and Smith clearly worked. Smith wasn't excellent, and he's been shit for the majority of this year, but obviously the Cavs got the win. The Cavs got the win because of the way LeBron played. He had 46 points in 40 minutes, and it was basically all him. 71% from the field, 77% from the line. Just a huge, huge night from James. But I think we can expect decent minutes from Smith and Korver most nights. And what we've seen through the first two is that George Hill remains limited. We're getting Jose Calderon getting minutes. We're getting Jordy Clarkson getting those minutes. And those three guys playing those point guard minutes is really limiting all their production. We also saw Rocket only go down and play 16 minutes. So I would imagine they are going to be sticking with that same starting lineup for Game 3. And there'll be slight differences, I guess, in the different way that the minutes are distributed, but overall it should be relatively similar. Now the Pacers in Game 3, back at home, back in Indiana, are actually favored by 1, and the total is 209 points. For this one, Kevin Love did suffer a ligament injury in his left thumb, but he and Ty Lue have both said that he's playing. It is something for us to monitor, but they have said that he will play. Of course, we will check that out closer to game time. For the point guards, this is going by FanDuel stuff. Dazza Collison at 5,900. I think you have to look at that as a fairly strong option. He had a big game in Game 2, another 33 points. And with the minutes they're giving him over someone like Corey Joseph, it's really hard not to consider Collison a fairly solid cash guy. He's been playing over Joseph all season. And I don't imagine too much of that changing here. So I do like Dazza there. The other guys, as for Joseph, Jose, Georgie Hill, I don't really like any of them. I think Hill is the guy that I would throw into a tournament just in case, because he does have the most upside for minutes there. They could go ahead and play him 31. It hasn't been the case in the first two, but it could very clearly happen, back in Indiana. Or even if they decide that, Clarkson and Calderon are giving me nothing. So I could really see that from Hill. But of course, I have no confidence in it happening. For the shooting guards, Kyle Korver's at 4,000. You always want to consider Korver as a tournament guy, because he can very easily have 30 points with 7 threes, and that could easily break that value there. But of course, relying upon him for cash is a task that's fraught with danger. Oladipo at 9,800. I like that. He had 35 in 28 minutes. you would think that he's almost a lock for 50 if he plays his 36 or 37 minutes. In fact, over the last five games, he's averaging over 49 points per 36 minutes, and he could push to 38 or 39 minutes in this one. So I do like him. And the plumber, J.R. Smith, is like Korver, only a tournament sort of a guy. Clarko and Rocket Rodney Hood, I don't really like either of those guys particularly, so they're not players I'd be interested in. At small forward, you've got, of course, LeBron James.
LeBron James!
He's at 12,500, and even for as excellent as he played in Game 2, with 46 points, elite efficiency, he still only put up 71 FanDuel points, which at 12,500, it is beating value, clearly, but it's not smashing it. And that price just does make him, you know, a little bit of a tougher guy to roster in cash. Sure, he could get 60, and he very well may. But he didn't. He only got 57 in game one, and 60 is not really enough at 12,500. So he can be used, but he's not like a, I know LeBron's excellent and he's going to put up good numbers type of guy in cash, because he still has to get you around 65 points for you to sort of break even. And that is not always the easiest thing that that happens. So it is something to pay attention to with LeBron there. Bojan Bogdanovic at 5,400. An inefficient game one where he scored well, an efficient game two where he didn't score well. Those two things don't normally go together for Bogdanovic. He's still always going to be, to me, a tournament guy. Well, Lance Stephenson at 3,800. I don't really see it with Lancey. At power forward, Kevin Love's at 8,100. Of course, the thumb is a concern. I would consider him a tournament guy, but I'd feel pretty hard-pressed to throw him into cash dealing with the thumb. Thad Young and Larry Nance, a couple of other power forward guys, not really loving either of those guys either. And Sabonis, Jeff Green, and Trevor Booker, they're not doing it for me. At center, like Miles Turner quite a bit. He's at $6,000, so they have bumped his salary quite a bit on FanDuel, and that takes a little bit of the excitement away from him. I would still consider him, and I would consider him in cash, but it's probably more going to be a tournament just because of the way that salary has risen. He could have 50, or he could have 25. And if he has 25, it's not enough. But if he came in at 5,400 and he gets 25, then I'd feel okay in cash. But in FanDuel, that's not the way it's going. There are no centers listed for the Cavs because Tristan Thompson and Ante Zizic were unlikely to, they're listed, but I don't think they're going to play. On DraftKings, so Turner comes in at 56 on DraftKings, and I'm all for it. I think that's a really good cash option for him there. Love at 76 also feels a little bit stronger. Oladipo at 8,800, almost the most no-brainer pick on the slate. Love that price for him. And LeBron at 11,800, that brings it down from the 12,500 he was in FanDuel, because that's less than 12,500 clearly. And that makes him an interesting cash guy, or much more of an interesting cash guy. The Plumber and Korver and Young, those sort of players are still your tournament type guys. Not a lot changes there apart from the reduction in price for Turner and the big reduction in price for Victor Oladipo. And Daz Collison also looks pretty good over on DraftKings. Want to flick it over to Yahoo for this game. Korver at minimum salary. I think that's hard to go past, even in cash, just to give you a solid minimum salary guy who you feel is going to produce no matter what. I like Daz Collison. I like Victor Oladipo as one of your high-priced guys. And there's a bunch of tournament-y sort of guys. I guess you could consider Miles Turner close to cash at 18 bucks, but I'm still not sold on it. And then you got Stevenson and Smith and Young and Love as options for tournaments. And then you got LeBron at 58 bucks, which is pretty expensive on Yahoo. No problem using it. We know what LeBron's going to do, but that is still a fairly expensive price, especially when I can spend $40 on Victor Oladipo and get probably a better return on my money than I would get by spending $58 on LeBron James. But that's something we do have to pay attention to with how you're constructing your roster. Let's move on to the next game. It's game three between the Toronto Raptors and the Washington Wizards. Of course, the Raptors have a 2-0 lead in this series. Let's have a look how Game 2 went down. It was a big, big win for Toronto, but perhaps the weirdest thing and the most surprising thing was the fact that A, Ty Lawson's on an NBA roster, and B, he played 31 minutes in preference to Otto Porter, in preference to Tomas Satoransky. Really weird stuff to see him out there for that long. And he played all right, 14-3-8, inefficient, but hit four triples. Not something he's really ever been known for. Good to see him out there getting those minutes and getting his life back together, but still odd coaching practices. Now, part of it was because Bradley Beal sucked. He played only 25 minutes and battled some foul trouble, so there was plenty of minutes open up for a guard to get in there, and Lawson was the guy who took advantage of those minutes. Now, if Beal goes back to playing, instead of playing 24 minutes or 25 minutes, it goes and plays 39 minutes, then there's a big chunk that comes away from Lawson there. We're hearing whispers that the Wizards might be looking to change up their starting lineup. We saw a ton of Mike Scott at center in this game. He had 20 points with four triples. He could be an option to start at center. They could start Oubre and Porter at the 3 and 4 and move Markieff across to the 5. And then that really does put any minutes for Marcin Gortat in real peril. He was outplayed once again by Jan Mihinmi. He's been terrible. I've been saying it for years. He is struggling a lot. And I wouldn't be shocked if we see Gortat out of the starting lineup and potentially completely out of the rotation. He went scoreless in his 12 minutes in game 2. Johnny Wall had a pretty strong game again, 29-4-9. On the Raptor side of things, just more of the same. Fred VanVleet still bothered by that arm injury. 3 minutes he played, but DeLon Wright stepping it up and continually playing excellently. You know I'm a big DeLon Wright fan, and he has been superb throughout these first couple of games. In the playoffs, we also had another big Valanciunas game, taking advantage of some of those small lineups the Wizards were using. But overall, the rotation from the Raptors was pretty similar to what we'd seen through majority of the regular season. They went real deep. We even had 7 minutes from Lorenzo Brown, 5 from Bebe, and 5 from Norm Powell. Some of that was garbage time, but Dwayne Casey was not afraid of using his entire bench and used 11 guys before the game was really out of hand. So that is something to bear in mind when looking at the minutes for a lot of these guys. We still saw big minutes from Lowry and DeRozan. So thankfully, that's something that we should have a decent amount of confidence in it continuing to happen. If we flip it across now to game 3 stuff, the Wizards are actually favored by 1.5 and the total is 218. That seems... I wouldn't be putting my money on the Wizards. I'll leave it at that. Still we need to check on the status of VanVleet, who's dealing with that arm issue. If he is out, that really does bump up guys like CJ Miles, the Jedi OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
And of course, DeLon Wright. So a couple of options who could really come into DFS play if VanVleet happens to be out. So let's just check it and wait on that. Let's talk point guards. DeLon is at 4,600. Smashed that in game 2 with 32 points. And if Freddie is out, I'd be all about DeLon there. He can do it offensively, but he can do it defensively. And he brings those steals, blocks, gets assists. Really be a guy I'd be interested in looking at. I love Lowry. His price is rising at 7,800, but I don't think it's risen enough. And I'm happily ready to go back to him on the road there. Hopefully get yourself another 40 out of him. Johnny Wall is up to 10-2. That might be pushing it a bit, but I don't think it's a horrendous play. I think it's got a fairly safe floor. Not sure how high the upside is, but it's not a bad option at all. I just think on FanDuel, there are probably better ways to go. And then you got Ty Lawson, who's a minimum salary guy. A few things had to go right, obviously, for him, or wrong if you're a Wizards fan, for him to get those minutes. But it's worth noting that he played significantly more than Satoransky, and you could see him in as the backup 1 and 2 in this game, making him an interesting tournament guy. But I do think his ownership at minimum salary will be fairly high, which makes him probably not the best tournament guy out there. For the shooting guards, DeRozan's at 7,900. Absolutely no worries with that. Love that for cash. I think it's a very strong play, whereas Beal's at 78. I'd take DeRozan over him every day, but I do think that Beal is going to be slept on in this game, especially after 2 subpar performances, and he can very comfortably come out and have 50. I wouldn't bank on it. I wouldn't believe in it, but I do think that it could be a nice pivot play for a tournament. For the small forwards, Porter was shithouse. 5,600 for Otto. It still had 26 points, which is not far off that price, but that's... The minutes are being minimalized, but I don't hate using Porter. In fact, I think it'd be a good idea to get on Porter, given how low he is. We saw him at over 7,000 for big chunks of the season, and he had stretches where he was bringing that value back. It hasn't been the case here, and weirdly, Ty Lawson was getting minutes over him, which is a coaching decision that I'll never agree with. But at 5,600, I think he is worth looking at. CJ Miles at minimum salary, banged a lot of threes in, 18 points in game 2. You can only consider him a tournament guy because he just really offers very little else apart from scoring. Whereas Oubre at 4,400, keep an eye on Oubre. I think there's a chance that he starts, and if he plays 35 minutes or so, he can beat that value, but I'm not super confident in it. At power forward, you got Mike Scott at minimum salary. Love this here for Scotty. He's getting big minutes. He's producing, and he could have an even bigger role in game 3. That is almost the no-brainer of no-brainer cash plays, I believe. Minimum salary guy who can get you 25. no worries, happy to lock that in. And then maybe that allows me to spend up on, say, a LeBron James, or you load up on DeRozan and guys like that. Mark Heath's at 6,300. I would much prefer to take Mike Scott at 35. I don't think there's any debate about that in my mind anyway. Mark Heath has been pretty solid, but I don't really like that price. While a Barker at 6,300 as well. I'd prefer him over Mark Heath, but I would still rather take Mike Scott. Surge is fine. He had a nice solid game one and game two and could have another one, but I don't have full trust in his consistency. At center, you've got Valanciunas up to $6,000. Crushed it last game. I'd be happy to go back to using Jonas. If he gets somehow 29 minutes, he will smash that number. It seems pretty unlikely that he will get up to that number, but it's always a possibility, so it's something to pay some attention to. And then you've got Jakob Poeltl, Marcin Gortat, Jan Mihinmi, and Bebe as your other low price centers. I don't really want anything to do with any of those guys. If I'm going to take a flyer on someone, it's probably going to be Mihinmi at minimum salary for a tournament, but that's really about it. On DraftKings, yeah, Beal comes in at 6,700, so therefore I love it. It's $1,100 cheaper than DeRozan. I still like DeRozan, but that is great for Beal, and I'd be very, very happy to use that. I think Lowry's in a good spot. Scott is Ibaka at 6,000, Johnny Wall at 9,300, Otto Porter at 5,300, D-Lon at 45. This is a really stackable game, I believe, on DraftKings. There's tons of value right across both teams, so this would be one that I'd be looking at pretty solidly. Mark Heath at 55, also in a good spot, but not as strong as some of the spots for some of the other guys that that I mentioned already. On Yahoo for this one, love Mike Scott minimum salary, love D-Lon at $14, CJ Miles always a tournament guy, DeRozan, Lowry, and John Wall I think are all in fairly strong spots for the salaries. They're at 32, 30, and 39 for DeRozan, Lowry, and Wall respectively. I don't like Otto Porter's salary on Yahoo, so while I did like him on FanDuel and I like him on DraftKings, I'm not a fan of him on Yahoo. And if you want to go real contrarian, Marcin Gortat's a minimum salary. I don't think I'd do it, but he is a minimum salary and it is worth, at the very least, considering. Let's go on to the third game for Friday. We've got the Boston Celtics. They are taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. The Celtics head to Milwaukee up 2-0. In game two, it was a comfortable victory for Boston. Big games from Yanni. Another big minutes game from the Muppet John Henson, which is something to bear in mind. Bledsoe's still struggling, but at least he was better than game one. Brogdon went from 30 minutes down to 19 minutes. Not really certain of that. Well, Jabari Parker only 10 minutes, and that is really two low performances from Jabari in terms of minutes played. He went scoreless, and he looked 100% lost out there. I like the fact that they played Sterling Brown 9 minutes. Still not enough to really have an impact, but it is interesting. While Shabazz Muhammad also entered the rotation, we had tons of guys play in this one for the Bucks. For the Celtics, a lot more of the same, except that we had 11 Gershon Yabesele minutes as opposed to Semi Ojeleye minutes. That's not really impacting us much for DFS. We also saw Aaron Baines get increased playing time, while Jason Tatum played under 30 minutes in a game again, which was pretty comfortably handled. Big minutes from Jaylen Brown and big performances. Same with Terry Rozier, and Al Horford was fairly strong as well. So not a lot changing from the Celtics side of things from game one to game two, which is always good for predictability for us when we're looking at it from a DFS point of view. Let's look on FanDuel now. The Bucks are actually favored by 6, allegedly, which seems nonsense to me. The total is 203 points. Point guards, Bledsoe is at 7,800, so the price is coming down. He's obviously been nowhere near that so far, but I do believe he's got a 45-pointer in him, and that makes him an interesting tournament guy, but more wouldn't be a single-entry tournament player, whereas Terry Rozier is now priced the exact same as Eric Bledsoe. He's clearly outplayed Bledsoe in those first two games, but I'm not sure that I want to spend 7,800 on Terry Rozier at this point. In a tournament, fine. I just don't think it's a good cash play. You've also got Shane O'Larkin there. Probably not much to see. At shooting guard, Jaylen's at 6,800. I'm fine with that. He's getting tons of run, tons of usage, shooting well. Now, he can have plenty of stinkers. We saw that. I think he led the NBA in duds of the night. Not sure that's an officially tracked stat, but Barry and Josh are tracking it, and they told me that he was one of the highest in terms of duds of the night. Shout out to Marcin Gortat. I do think that he's worth looking at. As for Chrissy Middleton at 82, give me Jaylen over Middleton. Middleton's been fairly strong, but wasn't a great game too for him, just the 28 points. And I think that sort of price lends it only to be a tournament guy. Brogo's at 45, Tone Snell's at 35, Sterling Brown's at 35, and Terry's at 35. I don't really like either of those guys. Perhaps Brogo, but that's about it. At small forward, it's Yanni Adetokounmpo, 11,500. Absolutely fine. Lock it in. Bang. Cash. We're good with that. Really, really strong numbers there. 1,000 less than LeBron, and I'd be happy with taking Adetokounmpo. Whereas Jace Tatum at 71. I think that's a little bit too high for Tates. I'd rather go with Jaylen at 6,800 or one of those other guys, that I mentioned in the previous game. Maybe an Otto, or definitely an Otto Porter. I just think that's a little bit too high for Tatum. Power forwards, the Muppet, 5,500, John Henson. Love it. I think that's fairly strong for cash. He's played 70 minutes in his first two games combined, which is not something that had really happened at all during the season, but it seems to be the way that Joe Prunty, who is not getting a job next season, I can almost guarantee you as a head coach, that's what Prunty's going with. So I think that Henson is fine there. Marcus Morris at 5,700. I don't know how high his upside is, but I do think that he is a fairly solid cash option. So I'm happy with using him there. Jabari and Yabesele or Semi Ojeleye, I don't really see much for them. Parker at $4,000. Maybe you want to get wild in a tournament, but he is getting just destroyed at the moment. At center, Al Horford's up to 8,300, and that scares me off completely for cash. I think he's a strong player. I think he's got a chance of being a 36, 37 point guy, but at 8,300, I don't like it. He can easily get 50, but it's not going to be the likely outcome, so that makes him a tournament-only sort of a guy. Greggy Munro, Aaron Baines.
As Greg runs in, we realise this could get dangerous.
Both these guys scored 21 points in game two. I just don't really see upside or consistency with either of them in this one. Over on DraftKings, yeah, Bledsoe at 63. That is a brilliant price. All about that. Bledsoe and Beal are going to be the low price under-owned guys who have a real chance to turn it around on DraftKings. I love that. Horford at 72 is strong for cash. Yanni at 10.6 is brilliant. Jaylen at 65, the Muppet at 49, Rozier at 71, a ton more cash options, I believe, over on DraftKings. I dislike Marcus Morris over there. I don't think there's a huge amount to like with him and his pricing. And I think Chrissy Middleton at 73, it moves into the cash territory, but I'm still not 100% sold on having him as a cash guy on DraftKings. For Yahoo, the Muppet John Henson, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, they are all pretty strong cash guys. Eric Bledsoe is still a tournament sort of player. Adetokounmpo, maybe a little bit too highly priced, I believe, here. Same as Middleton at $34, while Yanni's at 53. You could use Yanni pretty comfortably. I just don't see the real value in that. There are other higher priced players, like a Victor Oladipo, who I would much rather take than Yanni Adetokounmpo over on Yahoo. For everybody over in Australia, look at the Moneyball and DraftStars stuff. On Moneyball for cash, there's a bunch of guys I like here. Adetokounmpo, Wall, Oladipo, DeRozan, Lowry, Horford, Rozier, Miles Turner, Jalen Markeith, Dazza Collison, the Muppet, Kyle Korver, and Mike Scott. And for tournament, it's DeLon, Larry Nance, Boyan, and LeBron James. On DraftStars for cash and tournament, Adetokounmpo, Wall, Oladipo, DeRozan, Lowry, Horford, Jalen, Jason, Miles Turner, Dazza, Collison, the Muppet, and Mike Scott. And for tournaments, you've got the Plumber, you've got Brogdon, you've got Bledsoe, Beal, Love, and LeBron James. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, yeah, go leave a 5-star rating and a review. And you can also find us Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify. Go and subscribe on all those places and hit that red subscribe button on YouTube. Leave a thumbs up, leave a comment. Check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network, lockedonsports.com, and on Twitter at LockedOnNBAnet. Hope you guys are enjoying your Thursday, or enjoyed your Thursday days, Thursday nights worth of playoffs, and enjoy the playoffs across the weekend. Of course, Basketball Monster. So we've got our DFS projections for the playoffs. So go and check all of those out. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Malachi Richardson.